How do we build our dreams when we don't know what we want? Learn how Flaunt solves this problem in 5 bold and glittery steps with radio host Laura Cheadle. Using a combination of best girlfriend discussions and therapy-based exercises, listeners are taught how to build their dreams and live their sparkle. Flaunt. Find your fetish. Laugh out loud. Accept unconditionally. Navigate the negative and trust in your truth.
Flaunt, build your dreams and live your sparkle. I'm Laura Cheadle, and today we're going to talk about female friendship. Last week it was, I'm probably getting the name wrong, like National Feminist Day or National Female Day or something exciting like that, that was honoring the female. So what I wanted to do this week was talk about the importance of women in supporting each other. And hopefully address the myth of, you know, women who backstab each other. And not that that doesn't happen, but I want to focus on the positive aspects of what women can accomplish when they work together in supporting each other and bringing each other up. Because that's something I have always been really passionate about. And I know a lot of my listeners have reached out and they've been passionate about that as well. So, in support of that concept, I have got a special guest today. I have got the woman who has been my best friend since 7th grade. And we've been out of high school a lot of years now. We won't go into how long that is. But we're going to talk today about the power of female friendships and just our take on the situation and, you know, stories with our own lives. And hopefully it'll give you the opportunity to reflect back on friendships that were powerful in your life, as well as friendships that can be powerful in your life today, and how you can construct a positive future that builds a better world for yourself, as well as for everybody else around you. So welcome, Cindy. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here too, and especially talking with you about female friendship, since ours has been so long.
Yes, it has. And I just kind of want to launch this whole thing with a history of how friendships evolve, because we grow and we mature, not only in junior high and high school, but we mature through our 20s. We grow through our 30s. We have marriages, kids, deaths, jobs, all that things, and just the maturity level and how friendships change with time and what that looks like. And I don't know if you have any, if you want to start talking about anything on that, or if you just want me to start.
You go ahead and start. I have some thoughts, but yeah. I kind of want to hear yours to begin with.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of thoughts too. My initial thinking is both looking back on my own friendships and then also looking at the way my kids and their friends have friendships, is I think the first thing we do when we initially reach out for friendship is we find people, obviously, who we've got some similarities with, but who make us feel good. But to a certain extent, friendship is about us when we very first start meeting friends, because we want to feel comfortable and we don't want to go to the junior high school dance alone. So we get a group of friends and we go together. And it seems like friendship is more self-centered in the beginning stages. And then as it develops, you start caring more and more about the other person and understanding them and empathizing and sympathizing. And then it becomes more rich and deep. And then we're challenged more.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I'll agree with your premise. Like when we met in junior high, it was more, I had just moved here, if you remember, from Alabama, and I didn't know anyone. So for me, as you're saying, kind of that self-centeredness, it was a self-preservation. I needed to find someone, some friends to feel comfortable and feel okay about my move here and to feel accepted. And so I do think there's an interesting piece about female friendship or just friendship in general that I think is important too, kind of as you selecting your friends. I think kind of like there's that chemistry that you have in male-female relationships. I really strongly believe that there's a chemistry that you also have that's really strong and very real in female friendships. Like you just have that instant connection, and it's kind of a chemistry, different kind of chemistry, obviously, than a male-female, but it's still a really definable chemistry to me when you meet someone and you a female friend and you know you want to be around them and you start you're drawn to them and you mm-hmm. want to get to know them. It's a really strong pull.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. And again, it's based on a lot of different things. I think because I remember seeing you and thinking, that's somebody that I want to be friends with. Mm-hmm. You know, she looks nice. Mm-hmm. I like her smile. I yeah. like how energetic she is. And you're right, it's a chemistry thing.
Initially, I think.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you can be in a pack of women, and it's not to say that you can't speak to another woman or that you have issues with another woman. It's just some... you just instantly want to get to know them
yes.
more. And I think that does continue to happen our whole lives. You know, we have so many friends, but it doesn't diminish the capacity to meet a new female friend
yes.
and to want to start a new connection, if you will, at any given point in time with the person that you meet mm-hmm. at that time in your life.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. And also, like with regular relationships, I feel like when two people are looking for the same kind of friendship, it's easier for them to find each other.
Exactly. Like attracts like.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And like that, you had just moved here and you were looking for friends.
Mm-hmm.
And just coming out of elementary school, going to middle school, I was looking for new
right.
friends because
yeah.
I had just moved 2 years before.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Yeah. So I didn't know a lot of people either. Yeah. And then we, like that, we got to know each other and there were more and more similarities, but there were also a lot of differences.
Yes. And I would say even still today, even as we've matured in our friendship, those differences have become even more significant.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath it all, it doesn't change the power at all of our friendship.
No.
And it's an interesting sometimes perspective to, because we have those differences and that power of friendship, that sometimes you can give me a different perspective or vice versa because
yes.
of those differences that we have.
Mm-hmm. And then also because of our relationship, I feel like we're more accepting of seeing a different point of view.
You know, I think that's such a good point, too, because I do feel very open-minded in general about
mm-hmm.
life and people's opinions and being open to someone's thoughts who are different than mine. And I don't think I've ever actually attributed it, that it could be as a basis of even like yours and my friendship,
yeah.
that's something that's just was so from the beginning sort of natural and has just evolved. And I hadn't thought about the fact that that's something that maybe has come as another benefit of our friendship. So that
that's
was kind of insight into me just now.
I like that a lot. Yeah. And then same thing in that whole evolution. Obviously we were really different people in junior high. And then in high school, we were still trying to find ourselves, so
right.
to speak.
Exactly.
And we made mistakes and we,
mm-hmm.
but we, the bottom line was we'd always support each
mm-hmm.
other.
Mm-hmm.
At least from my point of view, I thought why we stayed together as friends is we always supported each other.
Mm-hmm.
We always cared about the other person's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And we were also very honest with each other.
I think that's such an important point that you bring too. I think in order to have that deep female friendship where
mm-hmm.
it can be such a positive thing, I think sometimes it doesn't always mean it's just fun. It doesn't always mean that you get along great with that person every time you meet them. I think there is that honesty piece of maybe something happened and you can
yes.
have that trust in that friendship. And the more you can trust that friendship, the more you feel like you can be open and say, hey, you know, and you can explore maybe that was a misunderstanding. Every time those incidences happen and you come out the other end on a positive note, it just forms that bond and it just forms that trust
right.
even deeper. So it becomes a source of, I don't know what I'm trying to say, like a powerful source of safety in
yes.
a lifelong friendship, because that person, like I think of you and I and how much we've been through from seventh grade to now, and you know everything about me.
Exactly.
The good, the bad, the ugly, you know, and we've been through it all together. And that history kind of blurs sometimes and it overlaps.
Yes.
And I think that history is what makes our friendship now even that much more richer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and it hasn't always, you know,
we've had hard times.
We have, but that because underneath it all, it was so important for us. We fought through it.
Right.
But it didn't even feel like we were fighting through it, if you will.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm even thinking, and we can go into some of the deeper stuff too, but I was even thinking on a trivial level, I remember in high school, right after we got, you know, our driver's licenses, and everybody was turning 16, and everybody was driving around, and seatbelts were an important thing. And I grew up wearing a seatbelt, and I grew up with my parents always. I mean, that was just me. You didn't not wear a seatbelt, that wouldn't happen. And then I had a boyfriend who was like too cool for seatbelts. And I bought into that because, ooh, this boy, and he's gonna, you know, he's gonna be my boyfriend, and I'm not gonna buy into the seatbelt thing. And I remember at one point you said, it makes me really concerned that you're choosing not to wear a seatbelt. And it wasn't like, I will judge you for that, or how stupid of you. It was just a genuine expressing of concern. And then it just made me turn that mirror back around to me, and it made me realize, oh, I'm trying to impress my boyfriend by being as anti-seatbelt as he is, but that's not me.
Right.
And like that was just a simple example.
Yeah, that is a good example. Again, and again, that concern, like you're saying, and you've done that for me too, where I might not see something, and you do, but it comes out of love and caring, and so it never comes across, like you're saying, as judgmental.
Right. Or, why are you such an idiot?
Yeah, like, what? Why are you letting a boy dictate whether, you know, that doesn't even come across that way. It is truly coming out of, I know your character up to that point, and I was concerned, well, also for your safety, too.
Right.
You know, it wasn't even just the boy, it was also, it was such a value system, why you're not wearing your seatbelt. I don't want you to get hurt.
Right, you know? Right. And that's not you.
Yeah, it's not you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, same thing, I mean, obviously, it woke me up right away, but I feel like even if I hadn't, you would have still loved and supported me.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And I think that's the other piece of it. You, in the true, you know, female friendship, you can give those pieces of advice or concern, but at the end of the day, you will always respect and the choices of your friend, even if you don't necessarily agree with it. I know I've made choices in my life that you knew weren't the best for me, and you had to sit and watch me make those choices, but you didn't pull away from me. Rather, I would say even more, you were there for me because you could see maybe the consequences that would come from those choices. And instead of pulling away from me and being like, oh, she didn't listen to me. Oh,
I'm going to ignore this.
It was almost the opposite. It was almost like on the sideline, you were there even more for me in those moments of, you know, seeing me maybe make the choices that you knew I shouldn't have made and said something, but maybe, like I said, I still chose my path.
Right.
But you supported me every step of the way on that path.
That's a really good point too, because you're right. I think that is one of the defining characteristics of female friendships is, you know, they say we tend and befriend and we are already in a friendship situation. You're right. When you see somebody and you're thinking, oh, I'm not sure, you do move in closer because that's what I think females are good at. And it's not to say that men can't do that or that some women don't. Right. But I think that's the strength of the female friendship is to envelop and to take care of and to be available more instead of less.
I agree. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Interesting. And then along those same lines, I think that's kind of where it starts moving outside of the friendship as selfish, and it starts realizing I'm in this for a joint reason and I am in it for the other person. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily what you can do for me.
Exactly.
But it's how we can do it for each other.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I feel that way. I know you're familiar with my cousin, Melanie.
Yes.
Who, you know, we've been,
really good
she's
friend.
My cousin, but she's also been my best friend. And just even an incident came up. I had something that had happened to me yesterday, and she had just called to say hi. And in the course of saying hi, I was kind of expressing some of my worries and my concerns, and you know, she just listened to me. And I think, you know, just having that ability at that moment to do some processing with her and knowing it was a judge-free zone and knowing that she cares what's best for me.
Right.
And knowing that whatever she would say would be. And yesterday it wasn't even more about me wanting to get advice from her. It was more just me sort of needing her to just listen. And I really didn't even know I needed someone to listen, but it just sort of evolved into that conversation. But then today, you know, she sent a text. Hey, I was thinking of you. I know you were really kind of concerned and worried and anxious yesterday, and I just want to see how you're doing. So not even to have taken that conversation, which actually really wasn't that long,
right,
but to have carried that with her, kind of like what you're saying, where we look, it's not just what you can do for me. So she was carrying that burden.
Yes.
I had sort of almost even moved on from that burden once I talked to her, but she was still carrying it. And
yes,
then reached out to me today because it had still been a burden she had been carrying.
Yes.
And so I think, like you're talking about, that connection and that outside of yourself, and that you do start to take that each other's burdens and joys. It goes the other way too.
Oh, it does.
When something good happens, it's the excitement, and it's almost as if that's, you're as excited as if it happened to you. You know, you
right.
feel it that, you know, powerfully when the good things happen too. So I don't want to tie it to it's just the negative that we have our friendships, and that's when we need it. It's the celebrations too that are so profoundly shared.
Yes.
As well.
And that's like a huge point too, because I think especially like high school years is when a lot of like jealousy kicks in.
Yes.
For a lot of girls. Mm-hmm. And I think that's that whole stereotypical mean girls.
Mm-hmm.
And there are stereotypical mean girls.
Yes.
But that's not a true female friendship, is tearing each other down.
Yes.
It's not that you got the lead in the musical and
yes.
I didn't.
Yes.
You know, or you made it into this group and I didn't.
Yes.
It's that honesty of, okay, I have to admit, I'm a little jealous
yes.
that you did that and that
yes.
I didn't, but I'm really happy for you. You really
it
deserve
is.
That.
In spite of, like you said, maybe it was a disappointment for yourself. I think you're
yes.
right. High school was definitely a lot of that for you and I, with successes and different
mm-hmm.
ways for both of us.
Right.
But I would say, and I think you're right, like it never superseded the excitement that I felt for you.
Right.
For getting the accolades or the achievements that you did, even though I might have wanted it for myself. It never negated
No.
the sheer honesty of the excitement that I
for the other person.
For the other person.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like there were a lot of girls, were and still are,
yes.
who just suck into that negative.
Yes.
And then it's, let's tear her down because she
yes.
got that.
And I think that is so dangerous. I think it's so hard as we know, just in general, to be a woman, to be,
yes.
and for women to tear each other down is, to me, so mind-boggling. I mean, we are all going to have differences, and we are all going to have things that, you know, we might not agree with how the other person does, but as that power of womanhood,
yes.
just in general, I feel like you see that so much more in women. Men don't, you know, as a species, as a male species, they don't tear each other down like
mm-hmm.
women do, and I think that's something that, as women, we need to do better.
Yes.
To really foster, again, just the unique traits of womanhood, and as a group of women,
mm-hmm.
to not tear each other down.
Yes, yes. Because I very much felt like, you know, moving past high school, kind of moving into the time of life where it's, am I going to work? Am I going to have kids? Am I going to work and have kids? Am I going to stay at home?
Right.
I feel like there's a lot of animosity between a lot
Absolutely.
Of women. And it's like, yeah, you get judged if you're a stay-at-home mom.
Yes.
Are you stupid? Are you going to let a man? When I left work, somebody said, how can you stand to let a man support you?
Yes.
And it was like, whoa.
And it's so interesting that you say that, because you were getting your law degree
mm-hmm.
and I was married and having my first baby.
Right.
And not, you know, I didn't finish my degree and I was a, you know, fairly young mother, but that was the path that I chose. And
mm-hmm.
I do think it's interesting, like you said, that, you know, some people didn't, even in our circle of friends, really couldn't understand
right.
my choices, because it really was so, you know, different than kind of the cultural norm for us at the time to be getting your degree and start your career first.
Right.
And then maybe think about marriage and kids. And I was just like, about that. And I think you're so right. I think that division that is still happening, I think that's a very big division.
Yeah.
And again, it's a personal choice that a woman makes, and
right.
it shouldn't be, we should be supportive of the woman who chooses to work and maybe has someone else,
yes.
daycares with their child, but that doesn't mean that that woman necessarily loves her child any different than the mother who stays at home, where
mm-hmm.
vice versa, the mother who chooses to stay at home and not go have a career, that you can accept that their fulfillment truly come from raising their children and right. being 100% hands-on mother, and that's just as fulfilling as maybe another woman who chooses to be fulfilled in a career environment. And
right. Or without kids.
Or even without kids. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I do know several women who have chosen not to have kids. Mm-hmm. My aunt was one of them, mm-hmm. you know, from... Yes. Yeah, from she came of age in the 60s.
And I say even at a different point where that's, she was yes. kind of not the norm.
Right.
To not want to have children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then even now I've got a couple of close friends who do not want kids, and they're still criticized for that. And it's interesting because it's always women yes. who throw the comments at them.
And that's exactly what I guess going back again to, it's not the men usually tearing the women down.
It's the women.
It's women tearing other women down
mm-hmm.
and separate sort of. And then you start putting women into categories, you
yes.
know, and I think, and I know we have a tendency, we've even done that sometimes
oh, yes.
to sort of categorize, well, she's that type of woman, or, you know, she's, and I do think there is, obviously there's differences even in men, but women are so quick to categorize and label. Mm-hmm. And with those categorizations and labels come some negative judgments and negative labels. And, you know, I think you're right. We can mm-hmm. maybe divide into those categories, but be more cognizant and aware of not giving them negative connotations because it's different
than
what we might do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
'Cause you know, like they talk about the good old boys network mm-hmm. and in the working world, men always have each other's backs
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter if it's a mistake they've made in business, if it's something they've done in personal life, if you're in the same, you know, brotherhood,
mm-hmm.
men will always support the other man.
Exactly. You don't hear men tear each other down like women tear. And they really don't even categorize themselves
no.
like we. And if they do, it doesn't come with any labels. It's just like, oh, he's a gym rat or he's a high-powered executive. But there's no
right.
negative connotation with that label. It's just kind of a factual thing.
Right.
Whereas we take it past that as women, and mm-hmm. I do think, yeah, it is very destructive.
Yeah.
And I do think, going back to this female friendship, you may not even get along with every woman. I mean, we've all met
True.
Women who we are like, they are the exact opposite of the type of woman
right that we are.
That we are.
Mm-hmm.
But being a better job of not, it doesn't necessarily mean we need to be friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we talked about in the beginning, there does need to be that similarity, that like does need to attract like.
Yes.
But going back to what you're saying, it doesn't mean that we need to tear them down or think we're better than they are
mm-hmm.
or, judge their choices or their lifestyles or whatever. And go back to that point of just accepting that they're different than us, and that's okay.
Right.
And it's okay.
Right. And I'll even take that one step further to support them by doing whatever it is they need.
Exactly.
Because
even if it's outside of your comfort zone.
Right.
Because if it is someone who's very different than you, chances are it's definitely going to be outside of your comfort zone.
Yes.
To maybe be the support, you know, that
mm-hmm.
they need, or if they're in your life for a reason
mm-hmm.
to be able to do that is
mm-hmm.
going to be outside of your comfort zone.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because I feel like when I was doing my years as an attorney,
mm-hmm.
it was, even though there were women there, it still did feel like a man's world in a lot
mm-hmm.
of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of wonderful, supportive women, but there was one woman in particular who, in front of other men, would take credit for other women's work.
Exactly. Exactly. And a man wouldn't. They really. Some do to get ahead, but in general, it happens way more with women.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, women want, let's talk about that equality in the workforce and that pay gap. And I do think for a lot of that is because women are tearing other women down.
Mm-hmm.
Why that pay gap and that inequality happens. We're sort of self-defeating behavior.
Yes.
With, you know, how we do tend to tear each other down.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, again, like that collective whole that we talked about, that power of
stronger together.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, in our young adult years too, both Cindy and I got involved for a while being Mary Kay consultants.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And even though that never went anywhere with either of us. I feel like we both learned a lot.
We did.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And a lot about supporting other women.
Absolutely. That company was definitely the culture of that company very yes. much fosters that celebration when things are happening well, but also it fosters that if you need help or things aren't going the right way, you have the other women in your unit to
bring you up.
To bring you up. Mm-hmm. And those weekly meetings, you know, were always really powerful and positive. There was never a negative moment in those meetings. Even if you as a consultant had a terrible week or hadn't done anything that you had said you were going to do the week before, nobody was like, oh, I can't believe you didn't do that. It was like, well, what can we do this week to help?
To support you.
To support you so you can meet that goal, so that you can. And then, do you remember, was it Nebraska that we went
yes.
to on that trip? And that whole frenzy, it was almost a frenzy
it
of
was
celebration.
A frenzy.
And it was all women, and that, you know, we were in that arena, and
mm-hmm.
it was all about celebration
yes.
and positivity. And we just, I remember how emotionally high we were that weekend.
Oh my gosh, the whole
yeah,
time.
The whole time. Mm-hmm. And it was all focusing on the power of unity and celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And yes, it is a type of a multi-line distributing company, and the goal is to, you know, recruit more people under you, basically,
mm-hmm,
so you can
true.
Become a director. But the spin that they put on that is something I really believe in, and it's you can only get successful by bringing other people
absolutely.
Up around you.
Absolutely.
It's not all about me. I can't be a director until I have a unit.
Right.
I can't be a unit
right.
until I have women
mm-hmm.
who are incredibly successful,
mm-hmm.
and the more successful I make the people under me,
mm-hmm.
the more successful I
right.
am.
Yes, so instead of, it's the opposite, like you were talking about with that female lawyer in your, you know, when you were practicing
mm-hmm.
at that company, who instead of, yeah, she tore you down to get ahead, where the
right.
whole principle of Mary Kay was, in order to get ahead, you have to do it together.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that. And yes, I understand, you know, there was the sales connotation. I know people,
yes.
you know, listening might be like, yeah, it's all about sales.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's also
all
about
life.
It's
so much
life.
More than that, though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's life skills. I mean, I would say, like you said, neither one of us, it really turned into an actual career or the money making.
No.
You know, but the fallout in the positive way that came out of it was these pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad that we did have the opportunity to do that together. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not only like that success comes from bringing up people around you, but they had this program, and I'm forgetting what they called, but I remember. It was the Go Give Award.
Oh. Yeah.
And it was like the top award in the company
mm-hmm.
was who gave
the
most.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not money. It's
yeah.
emotional support.
Right. It wasn't
and help.
The sales. They had made the most money for the company or made the most money. It was what they had done as a leader
mm-hmm.
with. And it might not even have necessarily been even with their own women directly in their unit.
Right.
It was more far reaching than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So those, you know, again, if you want to be more jaded about, of course, you make more money if you're nice to those women. But that award was about even more than that. It went outside of anyone who could monetarily
mm-hmm.
be, you know, by helping them monetarily being benefited.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. And even, I don't want to say that money is a bad thing, because if we're in life and we're trying to get a career, we need
mm-hmm.
more money, or we
absolutely.
Need more whatever. And these skills, if you want more money, these are the ways to do it.
Absolutely.
If you want more power, this
yes.
is the way to do it. If
absolutely.
You want more friendship, this is the way to
absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely.
So whatever it is that you want more of,
yes.
it's good.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's funny. It's funny on a lot of levels. There are so many things that I always think, that should be taught in school.
Yes.
Why isn't that
yes.
taught in school? But this is, again, one of those things, basic friendship skills.
Yes.
And how to get ahead by supporting people by not tearing them down.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like so counterintuitive, really,
yes.
to get ahead by tearing someone down. It does seem to be, like you said, a tendency some females can do, but when it's done the opposite way, and you and I have seen that, you know, in our lives and our friendship and friendships we've had with other women, and that power,
mm-hmm.
how it, the opposite actually catapults you
so
yeah, much,
so much farther, higher,
so much higher on
mm-hmm.
every level, monetarily, physical, happiness,
yes,
you know, on every level when you do it with supporting each other
right.
than it is when you try to move ahead
mm-hmm.
in whatever it is by tearing each other down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, like I like what you said, we've gone through different phases. You were doing the motherhood stuff. I was going to law school and mm-hmm. doing the career stuff. You know, mm-hmm. we do things at different times. Mm-hmm. And there were times that we didn't see each other,
yeah.
not because we didn't want to see each other, but I was working full-time and you were with kids.
I love that point that you bring up now too, because obviously at the stage of life we're in right now, we're busier than we've ever been. Mm-hmm. And we kind of laugh because, you know, we kind of play phone tag a lot of times.
Yes.
So I love that you brought that point because we aren't seeing each other and we don't talk to each other like we had when we had, you know, more time, if you will, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean our friendship isn't any less stronger. And it doesn't mean, you know, and I know yes. when push comes to shove, and I know, I hope you feel the same in reverse. If you really do need me, if it's something yes. that I need you and I'm relying on you as my friend, you do.
Absolutely.
And I know for me, you have always made it a priority. Mm-hmm. And that blows me away knowing everything that you do and how many things you do in your life that if I really do need you, that you're willing
absolutely.
At that time to make me your priority. And it means so much more to me now, I think, than ever, because I know how much you're doing and that you're giving, even if it's a half hour of your time, a half hour of your time is a lot. And, you know, and I think that's as we get more busy, I think in a way it allows that friendship. It doesn't negate that friendship. It's that, again, that respect and that
yes.
trust and that, you know, foundation is so solid there that even if we can go a week without talking to each other, and I miss talking to you,
right.
and I'm like, oh, I totally wish I could talk to you.
But
don't have the insecurities of like, oh, mm-hmm. she's not my friend, or, oh, I wish she was, you know, making me a priority. There's none of that there
right.
at all.
And that's a really good point that you make too, because some of that I'm also thinking is experience and maturity in
yes,
life.
Absolutely.
I know if I'm in need, I know I can count on you, and I've had a lot of people that I can't count on.
And exactly.
So it means more to me.
Yes, exactly. And I think you go to a good point too, like there's different levels of female friendships.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some are maybe casual acquaintances.
Yes.
But you know, like you said, there can be friends. And I think sometimes there can be disappointments in friends that maybe you felt was a stronger connection and you
yes.
felt more of that foundation and that trust was there. And it comes sometimes when you really need that friend, when you sort of do find that friend wasn't that friend for you. But going back to that lifting and that unification of women, saying, okay, now I sort of know what friend she is, and sort of redefining your expectation of the
yes.
friendship rather than, you know, tearing that friend down or maybe even negating the friendship.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of reevaluating the friendship and saying, okay, I didn't get this from this friend, but that's okay because
mm-hmm.
she gives me this.
Right.
But I still can get this from this other female friend. And so I
mm-hmm.
think it's also being okay with different levels of friendship and that trust and that expectation that you have, but again, knowing that they can still be your friend even if it's not
yes.
a connection. Every person that you meet in your life is not going to have the connection that you and I have.
No, not at
it
all.
It doesn't mean they're not your friend or the friends that I have that are separate of you. They're still friends. It just is, there's different
mm-hmm.
you know
mm-hmm. Yeah, layers of it.
Layers of it. That's
mm-hmm.
a good way of saying it. Just different layers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Exactly.
It's okay to have different layers of friendship with other women and not feel like, you know, like you said, that you need to tear that friendship down or that woman was disappointing to you. It's okay to accept
mm-hmm.
and off and
but that's
take
where they're at.
That's
at this
where
point.
They're at this point. And then it doesn't mean, like you said, I love you said at this point, because there might be a time that can, and then the friendship continues to evolve.
Yes.
And it continued to evolve where maybe that layer becomes deeper,
uh-huh.
or it becomes where the layer becomes more shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still
that's okay.
That's still also
mm-hmm.
okay. It's again, just sort of going with what that looks like
mm-hmm.
and
as a collective group, again, being positive about where that person is at and what you can expect from them and what it means.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a super quick break, and I'm going to tell you about my newest contest coming up. And then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about girl code, because I think a lot of listeners have heard about girl code and violation of girl code and what that really kind of means and what that looks like. And we'll just kind of move into that. But first, I want to tell you about a super fun contest that I am doing. I have got some amazing, amazing, super cute leggings. And if you have watched any of my workout videos, which you should, go to youtube.com/Laura Cheadle, LoraCheadle, Laura Cheadle, life choreographer. And if you don't remember that whole URL, Laura Cheadle, life choreographer, you can just Google Laura Cheadle, life choreographer, and my YouTube videos will come up. Or you can go to my Facebook page, and there are links to my YouTube channels. And then you can see my super, super, super cute leggings. Anyway, this contest. I am giving away a free pair of leggings to one lucky listener out there. And what you need to do is email me, Laura, L-O-R-A, at pyramidfusion.com. And all you have to do is let me know what your spring goals are. Your spring goals, both fitness, nutrition, relationships, family, just tell me what you are wanting to create, because spring is a time of renewal and rebirth. And I just want to hear about your renewal and about your rebirth. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a free pair of those uber cute leggings to the person who gives me the most wonderfully heartfelt email about how they are going to renew their life. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some of those best ones on air, and then the winner, I will send the pair of leggings. So email me, Laura at pyramidfusion.com. You can send me a Facebook message on Messenger. There's a lot of different ways to get in touch with me. But yeah, jump on YouTube, look at my workout videos, do some of my workout videos, look at those cute leggings, and win yourself a pair. So, we will come back to girl code. Girl code, as far as I am concerned, is a code of behavior between girls or women of things that you just don't do. And part of it ties into what we're talking about. You support each other. You don't trash each other. You don't steal each other's boyfriends. You don't put each other last. I mean, yes, there is that whole junior high aspect and even adulthood aspect. If I've got a new boyfriend and I want to go out with him all the time, and yes, you can and you do, but you don't put the other girls last. Mm-hmm. You still maintain that. You help each other in terms of, how do I say this? You help each other in terms of you really need to wear that or you really don't need to wear that.
You have each other's back on, making sure you look, you know. Yes. Yes. Oh, that's so
funny. That's why I'm like, how to put that delicately. That you're honest in that. And that you also, in terms of relationships, always support. It's not that you're blind to your friend's flaws, but that you support your friend and that you can help them work
through
their
flaws. In spite of their flaws.
Yes.
In spite of your flaws. Yeah.
Thank you.
Because we all have flaws.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you always take that other person's side, basically. Mm-hmm. And
that loyalty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you don't, it's kind of a violation of girl code. Mm-hmm. And
absolutely.
Bam, then other girls do turn on you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're saying it's not good to turn on other women. It's not good to throw each other under the bus. But that's all a part of girl code.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's interesting. And I know it's, you know, a discussion for, sometimes you and I have talked about certain women that we don't see get girl code.
Right.
I mean, you know, and can't understand how they don't get girl code. And interestingly enough, sometimes we recognize that those girls who can't follow girl code, they don't have female friends. They don't have that connection in their life. Mm-hmm. And even if they try, it's almost like they're not capable of sustaining it, because the girl code needs to be in place in order to sustain those friendships.
Yes.
And, you know, I know you and I have talked about those women who don't get the girl code and kind of how sorry we feel for them, you know? I mean, and I don't say that lightly, but truly just because they don't have that support. And I can't even imagine going through this life without the strong female friends that I have had through our challenges, like I said, through our celebrations, through, you know, self-evolvement.
Yes.
You know, I can ask you in all honesty if I have a character flaw. There has been times I have come to you.
Yes.
And maybe you've said it first, but I think sometimes knowing that I can say to you and be vulnerable to you and say, I know this might be a flaw, and I can trust that you're not going to be like, oh, it totally is. It's been driving me crazy.
Right.
I'm so glad you finally said something about that.
I'm going to text all my friends and tell them about it.
And, like, you take that vulnerability and you take it and you're like, yeah, that is something that maybe isn't your strongest point. And you let me process with you maybe how to make, you have suggestions on how, but you don't force it on me. You know, like I said, unless I think there have been times in both of our lives when we have, out of love and respect, you know, sort of helps lovingly steer the other friend.
Yes.
And I, again, that goes back to that girl code and that, you have each other's back that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Because same thing, you have always been there for me, and I know I can express all my vulnerabilities and everything that I'm doing wrong, and that you're not going to throw me under the bus for it.
Exactly. And again, that goes to that underwritten, that girl code that, you know,
you don't do that to other women.
Other women. Mm-hmm.
This last fall, I was in Hawaii and I took a cultural tour that was amazing. But they talked about the original societies in Hawaii and how they worked. And the men would go off and they would do the hunting, they would do the building, and the women and the kids were home together. And one of the stories was, and I just loved it, first thing, the women would all get together and they would talk and they would wear out the children and they would let the children play and they would take them to the ocean. Because, as they put it, if you have a bunch of children with too high of energy, the women will never get their work done because they're all running around them with the kids. And this, it was basically a tsunami situation had happened. The women had taken the kids down to the beach and the ocean had pulled back and it had exposed too much, you know, beach, and the women knew something was wrong. So they came back and they warned the men and they were able to go to higher ground. So when this, you know, big tsunami came back in, it ruined their village, but nobody died because the women were all there together. And they talked a lot about that culture, about how the children were kind of, it wasn't a commune, but the women took care of the other women's children.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that you say that, because going back again even to how we were talking about the career versus stay at home, it's such a deeper level too. It's how you choose to parent.
Yes.
And I think women are, we have so many differences of how we choose to parent and what that looks like. And again, putting labels and judgments on, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know,
so-and-so chose to do this.
So-and-so chose to let their, you know, child do that or not do that. And so it's so interesting that you're bringing that, you, that again, that power of the female friendship in these Hawaiian women.
Yes.
That they were sort of looking out for each other's kids and how, what a positive effect that was in their families.
Yes.
Versus kind of our society now, where it can be, again, like, it's a division. It's a negative thing. And maybe something that I could offer your child.
Right.
Because I do come from a different place. I'm not ever given that opportunity or vice versa, because as women, we're like, oh, no.
Right. Don't do that.
Don't, you know, don't overstep your boundary. Like, that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really like that powerful imagery of those Hawaiian women. And Yes. How the whole community benefited
from that.
From that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. That whole it takes a village thing.
It literally, mm-hmm. yeah. And mm-hmm. if we could look at it more positively in the form of female friendship.
Yes.
Of what that looks like.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. And I liked what you said about the women who do consistently violate girl code don't have female friends.
They don't.
They don't.
They really don't.
They really don't. Because I feel like most of us in the U.S. are strapped for time, mm-hmm. and we don't have time to
deal with your drama, or to sort of not accept,
get hurt.
To get hurt, and to sort of, again, it takes vulnerability, like we talked about, even in the very mm-hmm. beginning, going back to that basic friendship in seventh grade and looking for that
yes.
acceptance. If you, a woman who doesn't understand the girl code, mm-hmm. it isn't worth your time. It's a frustration. I feel like we've probably all had women in our life who have violated the girl code.
Yes.
And maybe want to help them and want to, again,
yes.
because to help them understand
right.
the girl code.
Yes.
But it seems like I know from my own personal experience with those minority of the women who don't get the girl code.
It's a serial violation.
It is. You really
well,
can't.
I mean, I had a huge violation of a girl code against you in high school.
Huge violation.
I didn't know if this was going to happen or if you were going to bring this up. Yeah, no. Huge violation. Cindy had a crush on this boy for...
basically
ever
6 years.
Oh, yeah. Forever.
And he never liked me back, so we have to put this out there.
But and I never liked him. He was the guy that you liked.
Yes, yes.
And I never liked him, and he never liked you, but
right.
it was, I mean, I knew it. I knew it in my heart. I knew it in my soul. I knew it. And then all of a sudden, one day on Christmas break, he and I went out as friends, and then bam. Mm-hmm. Everything just like totally exploded
yes,
that evening,
yes.
and we started dating.
And we're very seriously in love dating.
Instantly
too.
In love
yeah,
dating.
Instantly.
I mean, literally, we're going
yes.
out as friends. You look at each other,
yes.
and all of a sudden, you're like, bing, bing.
Yes, yes.
And it was a huge violation.
You know, I think I wasn't going to bring that up, but I thought of a perfect example again of that girl code. I think, you know, we did, that was probably the most
that
challenging.
That was the hardest in our
the
friendship.
Hardest thing that we got through. But I think we actually navigated it fairly quickly. I think
yes.
if you'll recall in the beginning when I first, you know, found out you didn't want to tell me.
Right.
And so
because I knew.
I didn't find out from you. I found out from another source. And
Which is worse.
And then, you know, I had to process and feel betrayed. And,
yes.
you know, I went through all my injustices and the victim of, you know, that
sending
moment.
Me letters.
Oh, yeah. And I think... you know, there was some, you know, I felt entitled to sort of feel hurt.
You were.
And I think I was, but I
you
think,
were.
You know, when we look back at it and starting to realize how much I missed you.
Yes.
And that, I think, was it about a month? And it was like,
this
but
isn't
I miss
work.
Her. This isn't going to work. Like,
yeah.
I, and then it made me start to realize, again, even that she didn't intentionally do
go
that
after
to hurt
him.
Me. You know, it was just one of those things that happened between her and this boy, and it was a choice she had to make, and I think there was that phone call, and I think there
uh-huh.
was lots of tears in the,
oh,
I miss you, and oh my
I miss
gosh,
you.
You know, and this, and just that healing and that, you know, again, that intention that you weren't, and accepting that you weren't genuinely trying to hurt me, and accepting and sort of separating even for this boy that he was sort of fair game to some degree because he had the opportunity to have dated me. It was very clear that I had liked this boy for a long time, and he
yeah.
had never taken that opportunity to date me. And I think sort of recognizing that... because it did happen so naturally with you. You weren't purposely. You didn't break girl code.
No.
You didn't break girl code.
I didn't break girl code because I didn't go after him.
Yes, you didn't actively go after him.
Right. But what my takeaway from that was that whole honesty piece.
Yes. That was the piece I think that the girl code that was broken.
Yes. That was
you not
broke.
Telling me first and
mm-hmm.
me hearing from you. I think that's where the girl code was broken.
Yes.
Not that you and him got together, but more that when it did happen, that that was going to be a difficult conversation to have because you knew it would be hurtful to me. And I do agree that's where the girl code was broken.
Yeah, that's where I broke it.
Yeah.
And same thing, I remember being like, there's no way I can say that to her.
Yeah. And understandably so, because you did care about me so much. You did know how long I had liked this boy. You knew how important he kind of was for me. So it made it intuitively, again, that much harder for you to want to tell me.
Right. But like that, in hindsight, we go out, all of a sudden sparks are flying. I should have been like, great, maybe we can go out tomorrow night. I need to have a talk with Cindy.
Yeah.
You know, like that, in hindsight, I should have addressed it with you first.
But don't you think the girl code that we're talking about, we learned from that.
We learned from it.
We learned. And you know how you were talking about how there's different levels of maturity in the friendships? Mm-hmm. I think even with the girl code, yes, there's that unwritten girl code that we had in junior high. There was that unwritten girl code. That
it evolved.
That was the first time I think our girl code really, really evolved. And we learned from that girl code. And we never have made those mistakes again. That girl code and what that really looked like, we learned that lesson through that experience.
And that's exactly right. And that's exactly why the women who are the serial violators, they would do that again and again and again, and not see anything wrong with
And not see anything wrong with it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it's a shame, too, because I think those women who are the serial violators, they give collectively the group of women a bad name.
So much.
And I think that's what's so hard too when you hear that mean girl syndrome. And I'm not saying that all women, it's not that black and white with mean girls, but the women who are the serial violators really are that stereotypical, if you will, Hollywood mean girl type. And they give the female as a whole collectively a really bad perception.
Right.
And I think that's also part of the girl code, too. I think there's a reason why there's a slight division between that, because you don't want to be associated
with a serial violator. Point.
And so we're talking about that power of female friendship and how we should be bringing, I think, unfortunately, even though we're sort of saying something different, like we're sort of backtracking what we're talking about by saying we should accept this girl, I think there's a piece of why we don't is to because collectively we want to protect the girl code. Collectively, we want to not, and sometimes you have to cut those things out in order to collectively stay strong.
Yes.
And so I think it's more looking at it that you're doing it in the right way than it is that you're not. You know, you're trying to hurt those type of women. It's more of a protection of standing up for the girl code.
Absolutely. And I know I've been in a lot of situations with you and with other groups of friends where you're kind of wanting to bring a new person into the fold, but you're not exactly sure how it's going to work. And everybody is a little bit aware of that. Is this, because it's that attraction, that like attracts like.
Yes.
Are you going to join our tribe and help?
Tribe, that's such a good way of saying it.
Yeah, and help support each other and not go after my job, not go after my relationships. It's not only mate poaching, but it's friendship poaching.
Exactly.
You know, because I think we've all had that situation happen, whether in junior high or high school or even as an adult, where you have somebody steal your best friend.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that breaks girl code too.
Yes.
But we've all had that happen, and you're right. And I think it's interesting because I think that's an interesting perspective that you bring up in the evolution of our friendship.
Yes.
Because you have made different friends, obviously, and I've made different friends.
Yes.
But I feel so comfortable when I go out with your friends that may not even be people that I've ever met, but I instantly feel that connection to them through you and accept them because I know you wouldn't have accepted them. It's like you've already pre-vetted them.
Exactly.
I don't need to vet them at that point. I can go into a situation, even if, like, say,
Knowing they're trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. Knowing I can, you know, they are of our tribe. They aren't the serial violator.
Right.
You know.
And, like, with your cousin Melanie, I know Melanie, too.
Yes.
But I'm never going to steal her away from you and be like, hey, Melanie, let's go talk about Cindy.
Exactly.
I'm worried about Cindy. What's going on with Cindy? Come over here. Come over here. Why don't you go? I'm going to take
But I know, like, for instance, as my marriage was falling apart, mm-hmm. you and Melanie almost collectively would sort of talk to each yes. other sometimes, but it was done as the exact opposite.
Yes.
It was done out of concern. You guys wanted to help me be
to
able
make to, a net of support.
To make a net of support. And so you bonded, even though you were from two different aspects of my life,
right.
as my friends, to collectively bond.
Come together.
To come together to help me be able to be strong enough to leave the situation that I was in my marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a supportive girl code.
Yes,
and not...
supportive girl code. Instead of stealing the friendship, you, mm-hmm. yeah, it became stronger out of concern for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Or tearing down of friendships. I know recently Cindy and I have both met and been reconnected with another friend.
Yes.
And one of the comments that she said was, and I'm probably getting it a little bit wrong, but she said, it's interesting to hear you two talk about each other because you support each other. You don't yes. badmouth each other.
We've had times where the three of us have all gone out together, but then there's been times with our schedule where I've gone out with the one girl individually and Laura's gone out individually.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it was so interesting to her because she had never seen a friendship like ours where separate of each other.
Even we're still supportive.
We were still supportive. And I would say she would even sort of test the waters and sort of mm-hmm. throw something out there. And I don't even know if she intentionally realized
no.
she was doing it until after we were like, oh, you know.
It's fine. Or,
it's
yeah.
fine. Or I totally, you know, it's yeah. not really a flaw. Or, you know, I
right.
totally accept it. And
right. I'm yeah. concerned, but I know she's got it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all perfect.
Exactly. That's so funny. And it was something that was so eye-opening to Laura and myself. Something that we've taken so for granted.
Right.
We didn't know that that dynamic was so, almost so unusual, if you will.
Right.
Until she pointed it out and she said, I've never seen two women who really, truly won't, can't say anything bad about each other.
Right.
And we were like, when we talked about it, like,
why
what?
Wouldn't you?
Why would you?
yeah.
We were kind of baffled by the fact that we were like, wow, I guess we do have
right.
this really amazing thing that we didn't even really have.
Right.
No, it was
who
as
knew?
Amazing as it was. Who knew?
Exactly. And that's like that same thing. It's just being an awareness of how you can support instead
yeah.
of tearing each other down.
Exactly.
And constructive gossip, I guess, if you will,
yes.
is different than negative gossip.
Yes. Yes.
And to say, I'm concerned about somebody
yes.
and I'm here to support them. How can we do this together?
Exactly.
Is
exactly.
so different than, you wouldn't believe what she's doing.
Yeah, exactly. Or I'm concerned, but but it's more concern in a judgmental way versus the concerned and the...
Did you see what she was
yeah,
wearing?
Yes. Or could you believe that she did X, Y, Z, you know? And yeah,
mm-hmm.
it is. You're right. Or she's choosing to do this with her time or any, you know,
right.
decisions that we make. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So we are getting very, very close on time here, but I hope you have had some insight about your own female friendships, both past, present, as well as future, and maybe what you can do to just be more constructive, not only for yourself, but for womankind everywhere,
mm-hmm.
and how you can build other people up. And yes, go ahead and have the selfish element of building people up to build yourself up, because mm-hmm. that's...
Everybody wins.
Everybody
it's
wins.
Still everybody wins.
yeah, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
So however you want to think about it, if you're think about it as the selfless way or the this is going to help me way, it's all win-win. And remember my contest, reach out, send me your... It doesn't have to be a beautifully written 5-paragraph essay. It can if you'd like it to be, but send me your writing about what you want to do this spring, what you want to renew. And in the next, I'd say 3 weeks, I will go ahead and send out that pair of leggings to our lucky winner.
Yay!
So Laura, L-O-R-A, at pyramidfusion.com. You can always find me on Facebook, Laura Plank Cheadle, or the group Flaunt Fitness. Have a fantastic, wonderful, friendship-filled week, and as usual, don't forget to flaunt.
Tune in next time to Flaunt. Build your dreams, live your sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come release outdated labels, roles, and scripts. Reveal the calling of your soul and re-choreograph your own life, even when you're unsure of what you want. In 5 bold and glittering strokes, you too can build your dreams and live your sparkle. Find out more about Laura at pyramidfusion.com.